Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So observe, Satan has finally given up after two tries on if you be the Son of God. In other words, Jesus keeps pointing out to him, I'm confronting you purely as a man, even though I am God. I'm not using my God power. Let's keep it man to the devil. So he didn't try that one again. But he's found this one he likes. Scripture. Jesus brought up the scripture, so Satan is with him on this scripture bit. Just worship me. Just worship me. Now, what he's trying to do is get Jesus to go. It's a test to see if Jesus really believes scripture. Because Jesus immediately would know what the issue was. Look at Psalms 2, verse 8. The Father God in this psalm is speaking to the Messiah. And you can tell about that in verse 2. It says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, that's Jehovah, the Father, and against His anointed. The anointed of Jehovah is the Messiah. That's what anointed means, Messiah, or Christ. The word anointed there can be translated into Greek as Christ, or in Hebrew as Messiah. The same word. So look what he says. The Father is speaking, if you read this, to the Son, and he says this. You can tell that in verse 7. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. Okay. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. See, just God the Father has already promised Jesus the kingdoms of the world in Psalm 2. 1,000 years. See, David wrote this. 1,000 years ahead of time. So what Satan is saying is, oh, Jesus, you like those scriptures and believe in the scriptures, do you? Well, let's see. Here, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdom of the world. Ask me? Why ask you? Psalms 8 says, ask God my Father. Why should I ask Satan? In other words, Jesus, do you really believe maybe God isn't going to give it to you? I'll give it to you right now. To get it your Father's way, you got to die a bad death. It's bad. And oh, before they kill you, they're going to beat you half to death. And then, Jesus, it's going to be about 2,000 years. Maybe your Father will renege. Can you trust Him? Can you really believe Psalms 2:8? Ask? I love that. How many of you notice that? Father said to Jesus in Psalms 2:8, ask. Wouldn't that make the kingdom a gift to His Son? A gift? Well, it's a gift. Then it can't be a work. Isn't that true? See, if something's a gift, it can't be a work. If I tell you I'm going to give you a bicycle, He says, oh, great, here, I'll give you a nickel to help buy it. Then it wouldn't be a gift. Even a nickel, it won't be a gift anymore. He earned part of it. If it's a gift, I have to give Him the whole bike. Satan says, oh, fall down and worship me, i.e., earn it. Do a little something. Oh, it's not much. Here's Jesus. I won't even look. Just do it quick. I'll even turn my back. I won't watch. You know, just do it real quick. Down and up. Hurry up. You know, it's kind of like in a Baptist church or Assembly of God church. Do you want to be saved? Do you want Jesus in your heart? Quickly, just with every head bowed, every eye closed, just raise your hand and take it right down. Raise your hand and take it right down. Nobody will look. We're so ashamed of what we're doing, we won't look. Aren't you glad, Jesus, that wasn't that ashamed of you and me on that cross? Amen. And if anyone had reason to be ashamed, it would be Him over me and you, right? But do you see? Satan is tempting Jesus not to receive an inheritance as a gift, but to do something to earn it. Do you see his modus operandi? There's all kind of wonderful things God has promised you and promised me. And a lot of them have a time element involved in them. How about a new body? It's a wonderful promise, but it's got a time element involved, and you just can't have it yet. Why don't you just lay back and trust God for that new body and relax? And it's going to happen in His time anyway. You may as well. Do you see it? And so Jesus does believe Father's word. So since authority has been the question here, see, Satan says, Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And Satan comes back and says, oh, authority is the question? Oh, yeah? Here, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give them. You'll give them to me? Isn't that funny? Psalms chapter 2, verse 8 said, my Father will give them to me if I just ask. I don't have to bow down and worship. Some of you right now, You want things in life. Job promotions, opportunities, husbands, wives. Some of you want a husband and Satan's tempting you. He says, you can have him if you just run to bed with him first. That's all you got to do. I mean, if you don't, you know somebody else might, and then he'll run off with her. And then you'll miss out. See, Satan always offers us stupid things like that. When God's already, listen, girls, those of you in here that need a husband, I want to tell you something. God's on your side in that. He's already said that he doesn't think it's good for you to live alone. God agrees with you. Relax and trust him. You don't have to give it away. Somebody's got to love you girls enough to tell you that. Don't you see it's the same type temptation he offered Jesus? Watch this. Remember I told you Matthew was Jesus being presented as the king? Is he worthy to be king? Is this man worthy to sit on the throne of David? Watch Jesus on that one. The very audacity. How dare Satan ask Jesus to worship him? Look what Jesus said to that one. Get thee hence. The king speaks. Now, do you see that? Whew, that was a command from the king. How do you know that, Brother Floyd? The cat left. You see, the whole issue was authority. Who had it? And when Jesus finally, hey, when Jesus is through with, I want you to see this. Anytime Jesus is ready to get rid of this guy, it's done. And I want you to see that Jesus wasn't ready to get rid of him on the first one or on the second one. There were purposes of God being performed, so he let him hang around for a little while. You reckon he'll do that in your life? See, sometimes you think Satan ought to be gone, right? You know, get it out of here, get the problem out of here, get Satan out of here, get the temptation out of here, get the problem gone, gone, and he doesn't go. Jesus didn't tell Satan to get the hints on the first one. He's pretty audacious of Satan to even tempt him on the first one, turning bread, stones to bread. But this is absolutely... Now, notice Satan's M.O. He started off with something reasonable and went to something absolutely ridiculous. He never starts the reverse. You see, if Satan came up to you, he comes up to Jesus and says, look, you're real hungry. If you're the Son of God, i.e., if you're God, see, if you're Son of God, you're God. The Son of God, you're God too. Therefore, if you're the Son of God, just... And you're hungry, it's a good purpose. I mean, Jesus, I'm concerned about your health. I mean, you know, after all, you got to hang around a little while to die on the cross. We can't have you dying out here in this wilderness. It would thwart God's plans. Oh, boy, you better eat. In other words, it's a reasonable, sounds reasonable. If he'd have come to Jesus, see, if Satan comes to you and me with the last one first, just fall down and worship me. Every one of us, we'd see that right through it. We wouldn't do it, Clay. But we do it. In our marriages, some of us actually worship our mates. I would never worship my mate. Yeah, you do. You choose your mate over God. Cower. Think, oh my gosh, if I lose him, I'll starve. There's no way I can earn a salary. I'm not trained, qualified. I never went to college. I'll just die. Your faith in that man. It's not in God. Let me tell you, that guy's liable to die tonight. And he forgot to pay the last 5 insurance premiums. Or the insurance company went defunct, went bankrupt last night. You better, girls, you better trust God, because these insurance companies can't be trusted. And I know some of you in here are insurance salesmen, but that's okay. I'm not against you. I'm just telling you, you know that you can go out of business any moment. See, what is our faith in is what we're learning and discussing. Jesus, the king, dismisses him by command. See, Satan does this. He went from a reasonable request to something a little far out. Throw yourself off the temple and come floating down. Stand on a scripture. But the last one is ridiculous. What I'm showing you is Satan will always progressively take you. He never is content to leave you. He keeps trying to take you deeper and deeper. There's no shortcut, beloveds. Self. See, the only way Jesus was going to reign in his Father's will for his life was self was going to have to die. He had to die to turning bread, rocks into bread. Jesus had to die to self and follow Father's will for his life. Let me tell you, any man or woman that follows God's will, you're going to run into a lot of crucified self is going to die. It's going to suffer. Everything within you is going to scream, I want to do it my way. Everything in us is going to make us believe God's timing is off. Not now, God. Don't let Al die now. And God didn't because it wasn't God's timing. What's tough is to really believe, listen to me, that Satan doesn't govern planet Earth and my life. Listen to me, y'all. Those of you in here that have given your heart to Jesus, Satan doesn't govern your life. Jesus is the governor. See, that's what Lord means. Now, you have a will, and you can take that will, just like Jesus could have, and offered his will to Satan and sinned. The hard part is to really believe that God knows what he's doing when it's your turn to be the one that's suffering, that's feeling all the pain and the mental anguish of self dying. And the problem is, self doesn't stay dead. You accept the crucifixion of self in a certain area of your life today, and next month it may come up again. You know, just when you thought you were going to get the promotion and someone else got it, and oh, you hated to go to the office the next day because everybody would look and they knew you thought it was going to be you. And you got to eat some crow. Humble pie. And you figured you were the Christian, so naturally you were going to get it. But you see, the problem is you were the Christian. But all of a sudden you began to realize that you had a lot of pride involved in all this anyway. And that actually, that job might have destroyed you in a lot of ways. You may could have handled it intellectually, but you might not could have handled it spiritually. You know, there's a lot of people that seem like pretty nice people because they don't have any power. Give them a little power and they suddenly become the biggest jerks you ever saw. You thought they were mild, gentle people, and then they got some power. For it is written. He dismisses him with this. For it is written. Now, I love the word for because the word for settles the entire issue. For it is written. Jesus never said that before. He's been saying, it is written, it is written. When Jesus said, for it is written, he says, this is the end of the... See, the word for says, the issue is settled. I've been tempted and won. The contest is over. It's kaput. For means you have had your moments in the throne room and you're dismissed. All right? For it is written. In other words, this is the end of our conversation. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Ooh, Satan didn't say one jolly thing about serving. And especially about serving God. See, when Jesus quoted the scripture, you shall worship the Lord thy God, Satan says, I want you to worship me, even for just a moment. In fact, in the Greek, that is the implication in the Greek, is for only a moment. See, Jesus knew that whosoever you worshiped, that's who you would serve. And Jesus adds that last part, which Satan hadn't even talked a thing about. See, Satan was only, the subject of the verb was worship. Authority. Who do we worship? That was the issue. Jesus goes one step farther and says, listen to me, it's not only worship, there's service involved. See, there's a lot of Christians that want to just worship God, but don't want to serve God. See, some of you think James taught something new in the Gospel of James when he said, look, you say you've got faith, but your faith has no works. He says, that's not biblical faith. Real Bible faith is, it will always produce a work later if it's genuine faith. Jesus is teaching the same thing right here. Worship God, and him only will you serve. Service is a work. Serving is a work. Do you see what I'm getting at? What Satan is really offering Jesus? When Jesus brought up the scriptures, the two temptations that Satan offered him, come down, fly down, and men will adore you and worship you and follow you anywhere. Of course, without repenting, but they will follow you. He offered him a kingdom without repentance. Fall down and worship me, the third one, and I will give you the kingdoms of the world. They're mine to give. Jesus didn't take issue with him about that. He knew that that was true. At that moment, Satan was the undefeated ruler of planet Earth. He only had 3 more years to rule. And then Jesus would defeat him in the cross and the resurrection. But when Satan did that, here's what Satan was really tempting him with. Jesus, don't fulfill these scriptures that you say you believe and trust. Get ahead of God's timing. Don't die on Passover. The whole Old Testament demands that you die on Passover. Don't do it, Jesus. I'll give you the kingdoms without dying on Passover. Do you see that the real issue was the scriptures themselves? Once Jesus brought them up, Satan now tries to get Jesus to break the very scriptures he's using to defeat Satan with. Don't die on Passover. Don't die, period, much less Passover. Jesus, don't do what the Old Testament predicted. Don't die on a tree. Don't have your hands and feet pierced, as Psalms 22 and Zechariah 12 say. Jesus, don't endure the beatings of the whip, so that Isaiah 53, by His stripes we were healed, will be true. Jesus, don't die between the thieves, as Isaiah 53 had prophesied. So on and on, the temptation is, Jesus, help God out. Get the program here 2,000 years in advance. And may I say this to all of us. Much charismatic teaching. Now I want you to understand there's a lot of different groups of charismatics. I'm talking about the faith, the hyper-faith group centered in Tulsa and Dallas. Many of the scriptures they're trying to claim for promises, hear me, are either out of context or are out of God's timing. The scriptures that they're claiming for perfect health, no death, no bad health, are all promises for the millennial kingdom. And they're ahead of time. And that's why they don't work. Oh, get healed? You might get healed. But see, listen, y'all, if we're going to talk about positive confessions and what you get is what you say is what you get, let's not be pikers with it. Let's go all the way. Let's confess away sin. There is no sin on planet Earth. I have so said. Come on now. Let's really get tough with confession. To hang with this business of health, let's go for the throat. Get something worthy enough. No more murder. I confessed it. No more rape. I said so. And what I say is what I get. Come on now. I'm tired of this junk. Let's either live by the Bible or quit twisting scriptures.
Amen.
No more death? Oh, you've got dominion over death? Come on, take me to the nearest graveyard. I want to see you do it.
Yeah.
Come on. Don't sit there in perfect health and tell me I'm not going to die. There's no curse anymore. Let me come back and see you in 10 years and we'll see if you aged. Let's see if it hurts when you have babies anymore. You hear what I'm saying? Listen to me, y'all. We are Christians. We live in the real world. Jesus is our example. Satan offered him to rule without dying. And that's what this charismatic junk, not all charismatic groups are into this. This particular group, they're offering us to rule without dying. Jesus had to die to self in that first temptation. He was hungry. And I want you to tell you something. The fact that scripture said he was hungry proves he was a genuine human being. Angels, souped up angels, like Jehovah's Witness and Mormons tend to teach that Jesus is. You know, souped up angels don't get hungry. He was hungry. Now, I'm glad. Listen to me. I need to know that. You know what God put that there? There's times that you pray and Satan tempts you. God doesn't understand your problem. I mean, He's God, don't you understand? Up there in the clouds, things are going great in heaven. There's an emerald rainbow above His throne. Yeah, I mean, everything's great with that guy. And He doesn't really understand you and your problem. He's never gone through what you're going through. People in Ethiopia are starving. After 40 days, baby, you're pretty hungry. Yes, God does know. He doesn't know what it's like to face problems on the job. He didn't know what it's like to face a mortgage on a house. He didn't even have a home. You've got one. Don't gripe about the mortgage. You hear me? Glory to God. So exhausted, he fell asleep in a storm on the back of a boat. Have you ever slept through a storm? You ever been in a boat on a storm? I have. Boats, most of you can't even handle a boat on the ocean. Most of you would get seasick. I know. I've been out many times. And most folks that get on get seasick. And when it gets bad, I saw old salts that if the storm got bad enough, they headed for their bunks. And what that, the heading for the bunk is your final, that's when you gave up. Listen, learn how Jesus did it. And see to it, see this last part. The whole issue was authority and who had it. Let's see if the devil can make a man. The devil can make a man full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and knows God's Word and uses the two-edged sword in context. Let's see if the devil has any chance against that guy when it comes to authority. Jesus told him to leave. Verse 11, then the devil left him. He said, get thee hence, Satan. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I got a question as we leave. What do you think those angels ministered unto him? That's a good question. Somebody said it. What? Of course. What was his problem? He was hungry, honey. And he's in the middle of the wilderness. There is no food there. Either someone's going to have to bring him food or he's got to walk out of that. You know, when you've been 40 days without food, you're not going to walk very far as a man. In other words, we needed to see this, that Jesus still didn't resort to solving his problems as God. You know why this is so important, y'all? Every one of you in here have problems. If Jesus had resorted to these as God, you know what it would have been like? It would have been like Clark Kent. When he got a problem, he leaped into a telephone booth, ripped off his carpenter's robe, and leaped out with a big S on his chest, and leaped over tall buildings in a single bound. The problem is that won't help me if Jesus solves his problems that way. I can't, when I am being tempted of the devil and have real problems and am hungry, leap into a telephone booth, tear off my my sweater and my shirt, and come out with an S on my chest. See, if Jesus had defeated Satan like that, that wouldn't minister to my needs. I would just say, isn't that great? Jesus has an S on his chest. And he does. But I want you to see that this story puts down this charismatic junk of elevating Satan. Even a man whipped him. That's the point. That are led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, use the Word of God in context. And did you see in Luke, in chapter 4, verse 14, it says that after this, Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. In other words, that test hadn't reduced him one bit. And I want to say this, the last statement. Listen, God never intended that Christians would be filled with the Holy Spirit and then have to be filled again and again and again and again. And Jesus is always the example. See, Jesus went through this dreadful test. Physically weak. And he didn't have to get refilled. The test actually proved that he was filled to start with and proved that he could defeat Satan as a man and was therefore worthy to be king. The whole issue is Jesus fit to be king? And we've been watching him in the pressure chamber as the pressure builds. He's a man, y'all. You got to remember that. He's a genuine human being. He has flesh. It bled. It quivered. And nobody in their right mind wants to go through a crucifixion. You don't. I don't, even when it's a spiritual crucifixion to self. We squirm and kick and plead and beg with God. Much less when it's real nails. You hear me? I'm saying Jesus didn't want this, not his flesh. And Satan's offering him this whole thing without the cross, without dying. And he'll offer it to you and to me. See, he's already said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I'm your God. Whether I'm your Lord or not, I'm your God. You shall not tempt me. And you shall not tempt me to tempt my Father. He's saying both. But now watch, watch. You think Satan's got a lot of power and authority? Satan was even bluffing. It's a bluff. It's a bluff. He's a roaring lion. He hasn't got any teeth. He can only gum at you. That's what Peter's talking about. He roars. He bluffs. He scares you. He terrifies you. But there's no teeth in what he can do because he can't make you do it. If he could make you do it, then the threats and the temptations have teeth. Jesus now shows you and me forever how much authority this guy really has as he curtly dismisses him as a king would do when he's had enough of this man, of this creature's insolence. But I want you to see what happened when Jesus said, "Get thee hence." It's a command. The king has dismissed. Hey, the audience is over. See, Satan thought he was in charge. He's the one taking Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. He's the one taking Jesus up on the high mountain. He thinks he's running the show. Suddenly we find out who's been running the whole show. How do I know this? Verse 1 and 2 said it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus there to be tempted. All this is of God. And him only shall you serve. Not the Southern Baptist Church. Him, Jehovah, only shall you serve. Not the Catholic Church, not tongues, not the gifts of the Spirit, not Brother Floyd. Jesus shows us here and explains to Satan clearly that that it's a matter of fact that whoever you worship, that's who you serve. And that who you serve is who you're worshiping. If you serve Texaco, you worship Texaco. I know guys that lose their wives being married to the company. Lose their children married to the ministry. I know preachers that lose their children thinking that they've got to be out ministering to you guys, forgetting that God gave them a wife and children also. And there's nothing worse, nothing more deceptive than a preacher that leads 500 people to Jesus thinking he's doing the will of God, letting his own children go to hell because he hadn't got enough time for them, got enough time for everybody in the world, but his own children, he doesn't have time for it, and the children resent him for it. And they say, if that's what God is like, he's got time for everybody but me, forget it. See, because they identify God with their heavenly father, with their earthly father. In other words, that was part of Satan's temptation. If God your father loves you, what in the world has he done leading you out here in this wilderness? And hey, some of you have said the same thing, had the same thing said to you. You have followed the Holy Spirit into a mess. And you know you were following the Lord. You know you were being led by the Spirit. And now, you're in a mess. Man, you're in a wilderness. And you can't hear God's voice. You keep hearing nothing but the devil's voice. That's all Jesus heard out there. And all of a sudden, you're beginning to wonder what's going on. But notice at the end of the test, everything you really needed suddenly is ministered to you. Is ministered to you. I want to close with this thought. Listen very, very carefully. In Luke, the order of temptations is different from the order in Matthew. And I want to tell you why. Take me just a couple of minutes. Quickly, listen. In Matthew, the order was given in that particular order to prove conclusively and demonstrate that Jesus is king. Matthew is painting a portrait of Jesus as the rightful heir to David's throne, the rightful ruler of planet Earth, that which the Messiah was promised. See, Jesus has always ruled the universe. He's God come in the flesh. And so they're arranged in order so that the last thing that happened was, the third one was, get thee hence, Satan, and Satan left. Now you know Matthew is given the correct chronological order. Because that's the command that when Jesus said, get out, leave, get thee hence, Satan left. So we know that's the right order. In other words, it can't be another order. He can't be there for the next temptation. He's already been dismissed and left. But when you read the Luke, when Luke is trying to show us that Jesus is really and truly not just the king, but the perfect man. See, the king is a man, So David, Matthew is painting a portrait of Jesus as a man, the Son of Man, but the emphasis is this man is king. Luke comes along and says, yes, yes, he's the Son of Man, a genuine man, but I want to doubly emphasize the fact that he's a man. And the way Luke arranged it was, the first temptation came in the same order with food first, but the second temptation was, fall down and worship me. He made there, in doing so, a soulish attack. See, the first attack in both of them was to the flesh, to the body. But the second temptation in Luke is actually the third one that we just studied. But it's given in this one because it says, he showed him all the kings of the world, exactly like Eve. Eve saw the fruit with her eyes. And it's like 1 John tells us that we read in chapter 2 that the first test is the lust of the flesh. That's attack on the body. That's his first one. Turn, satisfy your body, turn stones to bread. The second one, though, if you're a man, see, the way Satan always attacks men, since we're not the king, he's going to attack us like this, but in the order it comes that it came to Eve in the garden and that Luke is given, emphasizing that Satan attacks first the body, then the soul, and then the spirit. First, Satan says, honey, you're real cute. Maybe you should be my wife. Why don't we go to bed together and see how that works out? An attack on the body first. Then after that, we sit on the bed, smoke cigarettes, say we'll never do it again, and think of soulish thoughts like, do you love the mountains? I love the seascapes. And, oh, I love beautiful music and everything. Soulish. Then after trying this on and off for about 7 or 8 months, we say, why don't we go find a JP and get God's blessings on this whole sordid affair? So observe in exactly that order. In verse 5 in the Luke chapter 4 version, the second temptation that Luke gave, and Luke doesn't claim to be in chronological order, but he's got an order, and the order is to put it in the order that Satan attacks men, showing Jesus as the perfect man. He showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. That is, with his eyes. It was the lust of the eye, an attack on the lust of the eyes, just like Eve. All right? Then, in verse 9, comes the third one, where he says, Jesus, jump off the temple. It's a spiritual attack. And come flying down. The pride of life. 1 John 2. Hey, I guarantee you, y'all, if I came flying over here to Beaumont, we'd have a bigger crowd. This place has 210 seats. And I would just estimate, you know, that there's about 180, 85 people here tonight. I guarantee you, honey, if I flew over here and, you know, just came flying down to the campus, you know, no plane, no helicopter. I mean, old Floyd just came physically, just old Floyd's meat flying over here. There'd be a bigger crowd here next week than 185, I guarantee you. The pride of life. An attack at the spirit of the man. And Jesus, and so Luke faithfully records the temptation, not in chronological order, but in an order, Brother Wilson, that shows you and me, Matthew said, hey, this guy is the king. Watch this. At Act 3, he dismisses this wicked villain. And he obeys. And if Satan obeyed him, this guy must really be king. Whew. Not Satan has authority, but Jesus has authority. Now, that impresses me. That impresses me. But the problem is, I'm not the king. I'm Floyd Jones' mudball. Clay. He's Potter, I'm clay. So Luke comes along and says, it's okay, Floyd. He's not only the king, he deserves to be king since he's the second Adam, or rather the last Adam, the second man. The perfect unfallen man. And Floyd, though you're not a perfect unfallen man, if Satan can be defeated by only a man, and you are a man, but you have the Holy Spirit in you that led Jesus into this wilderness and got Jesus sustained through this temptation, then you can make it too the same way Jesus did. And beloved, right after this, in Luke, at the beginning of this, it said Jesus was baptized by John. In verse 1 of Luke 4, it says he came to this temptation full of the Spirit. He had to be in order to be led by the Spirit. It's real hard to be led by the Spirit when you're not full of the Spirit. When you're not full of the Spirit of God, you tend to not want to be led by the Spirit of God. It takes a full bucket in order to go, you know, to go along with Him almost. But the point I'm getting at is this. If you continue to read, and I'm not going to do it for tonight, but if you continue to read in Luke chapter 4 and pick up right after these verses, at verse 14 through 18, you will see something equally incredible. He entered the test full of the Holy Spirit, and it says, He returned from this test in the power of the Spirit. Beloveds, we put our product in the crucible and applied the pressure to see if it was a good product. Here's the Son of God. Is He worthy? Here's this last Adam. Is He really worthy to be king? Is He truly the perfect man? You've seen Him in the test. And the answer is a resounding yes. So we have now seen Him tested. It's no doubt that we would expect to find that He returned, having been tested in the power of the Spirit. Because having been tested, we know this is a good product. We can begin to manufacture this thing, and if we can sell it on the market, we're going to make a fortune because the test proved it had no flaws. He is Lord. Would you stand?